League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome back to Funtown, everybody. It's Wednesday for you. It's Tuesday for us. Man, the world is good. Well, Austin Real is here. What's up?
Hello. Brother? How's it going?
Good. And Jeff Oskay.
Cheers.
Cheers. We almost had a special guest. He's going to join us at a later episode. He has some stuff come up. Comedian Brent Terhune. Go ahead and look him up in advance. He's all over social media. Type in Brent Terhune. I think it's Brent Terhune Comedy.
Yeah. Type in the redneck you love to hate.
Yeah, look up his character, the redneck you love to hate.
Which, I mean, in a completely honest way, is some of the most brilliant stuff I've seen on the internet.
It is.
Right now.
You have to realize it's satire, but some people don't get that, and that makes it even better. Like
how they don't get it is what I don't get.
Because he brilliantly can trigger either end of it, and it's really great. It's really fun to watch because it really just absorbs like self-righteous people fall into the trap.
Oh,
absolutely. That's what makes it entertaining. Is everyone who gets hit by that is very self-righteous.
100%.
It's awesome.
And he hits all the people that I love to hate on social media. They just can't help themselves from commenting. Like the type of guy, like when I put my documentary up, some guy said, it's 57 minutes and some seconds long. And he said, he put it in the comment when I posted it. He put, I'm not paying $4.99 for something that's not even an hour long. And I was like, but yeah, first of all, just thank you so much for taking the time to post that instead of just browsing past it and keeping your fucking mouth shut. Which is what I do when I'm not interested in something.
But, like a human.
Yeah. Like that guy, and I said, and I apologize that your life sucks. So, because that's why those are the people that comment. Their life sucks so fucking bad. They're like, they've fucking hurt somebody right
they've
now.
They've got nothing else to do. They're Yelp Absolutely. People.
They are Yelp people. That's exactly what they are.
I don't think Yelp should be legal, honestly.
It can.
I don't get it.
Fuck you so bad. Like, as a former business owner, like somebody would say something that was totally a fucking lie and you can't get that shit off there.
Right.
I think we should just come up with a website that purely reviews Yelp. That's all we do is just so that way we have a rival thing to be right up there at the top too. Yeah. Be like Yelp says this and then right away we're like Yelp sucks.
Yeah. This one's called Welp. Well, they were wrong over wrong. There on Yelp.
That's exactly what we fucking need. If we could just like if COVID only affected those people, we'd be fine.
Like, well, I think if we a few more months and it will only be affecting those people. I mean, slowly. I feel like the people are getting on board with trying to actually do something about this, but the people that are holding out are Yelp people. It's not going to affect me. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, they're talking about like over in some Asian cultures about doing basically having like a human Yelp. So it's each individual person has their own kind of rating and people can rate you on whether you're a good person or a piece of shit. And they keep track of it basically. So like if you welch on people and fucking are constantly fucking people, you have like a really shitty low personal rating as a person. And I'm not even making this up.
He's right.
Like,
I saw this.
It's like over in China or one of those lovely freedom country type places. But they're going to start having basically it's called social credit score, where you have a score based on how you behave socially and people can access it.
I mean, I fucking love it. The only thing would be, can you screen out people just fucking, oh, I got divorced from you, so now I'm going to make up a bunch of shit.
I would have so many ex-girlfriends.
You should get X amount of credits for blocking some people. Like when you file for divorce, a little bit of that be like, and here's your login code to block out Nancy. So you don't hear from her anymore.
Just send us your divorce decree.
Yeah.
And we'll block her for you.
And somebody should have to call her and be like, listen, you guys got divorced 2 months ago. You've tried leaving a review 6 times. Let's just walk away from this, Nancy. Welp doesn't need this kind of issues.
But if you could do what you need to do, totally then honest,
is buy the data from that and set up a dating service that only pairs up 5-star and 1-star people, because those are probably your most interesting people on there. All your terrible people and wonderful people, who I bet a good amount of them are also terrible, because Absolutely. That's not easy being with somebody who's a great person. That's hard.
Oh, so I had a business partner at one time who we had a great relationship for like 5 or 6 years, did a lot of business together. And then had a huge falling out, and I feel like he totally dicked me over. And long story short, hate the guy. I curse him every minute of my life, and I never really knew whatever happened to him. Till I was speaking to a coworker the other day, and I found out in the time me and him have done business, he's since gone bankrupt. His wife left him. His 2 children no longer talk to him, and he was homeless for 9 months. So I was like, yeah,
big win.
I've never been happier at someone else's total destruction in my life. And the only thing I wished I would have had a piece in helping it happen, but I didn't.
Well, I was about to ask, what gypsy did you visit shortly after the business failed to get this all done? So wife left him.
Yes.
Bankrupt?
Now, this is like 20 years ago happened. I haven't heard what's happened to him in the last 20 years, but apparently his ex-wife's available, so I'm going to try to bang that, and just out of principle.
If he's that bad a person.
He's got a pretty hot 21-year-old daughter. I'm passing on that because I have morals. I'm going straight for the mom.
Maybe your son. Straight
for the ex-wife.
Let's get your son involved in this revenge scheme.
Yeah. You want me to send my son over there?
Oh, there we go.
Love it.
Get Bailey going.
Go hurt this girl's feelings.
So that made me feel fabulous to know that the people who really deserve it, they end up getting it. Real pieces of shit. People find out.
They do. Sometimes it takes a long time. I had this guy that I worked with. We were together undercover, both just detectives. And he tried to burn me for no reason, and it backfired on him. He ended up looking really stupid in front of all these people in this big meeting that he assembled to embarrass me. And he hated me ever since. Then he became my squad sergeant.
Oh,
and
great.
He just fucked with me and my partner relentlessly. So we had words with him because I was like, I don't give a fuck if you're a sergeant. Like, my buddy's like, I'll throw you through that fucking window. I don't give a fuck either.
God, is this all an undercover unit?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I bet it's so just fucking macho shit in that room. Guns so strapped on.
I mean, my buddy played for football for IU.
Yeah.
A lineman. And then this guy still looked like a Harley, like an outlaw biker guy, even though he was a sergeant.
How gaunt were you right now? Were you pretty gaunt? Was this Todd Gaunt days or were you?
Yeah, I was in my Keith Urban days. That was the style haircut I had then.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So
I think I met you shortly.
You did.
At the end of the Keith Urban.
Yeah, I started comedy as Keith Urban and then cut my hair.
This totally plays into what I want to talk about today. So,
okay. This guy gets, and then he ends up becoming our major all within like 4 months. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. We were fucked for 8 years, Oscar. 8 years, my partner and I. He moved my partner back to the street as a uniformed trooper, tried to move me back, but he couldn't because the colonel was like, oh, wait a minute, like, isn't Todd the only one that knows how to run the wiretap system? And they're like, oh yeah, fuck. So he has to stay. So I was protected. But then 8 years later, we get a new superintendent. And I had been telling people, I'm like, this motherfucker, he lies. If you just look up his case report, like, that guy has not done a case report in like fucking 10 years. Like, I don't know what he does. He's just always around, but he's never working crime. And then they looked it up and he had nothing. Boom. Busted back down to sergeant and put in an administrative job.
Whoa. But
8 years it took me to get that fucking vengeance.
Whoa. You cracked the case.
Oh, yeah. And the day he retires, I go into his house and whooping his ass.
Shit. See, this is what everyone says cops aren't doing, but to hear that they're doing it, it sounds great. I wish I would have done it.
Oh, dude.
Which we don't have to do it right now. Todd, I have a surprise for you. I'm starting a new little segment on the show called Ask a Cop, because I've always had questions I've wanted to ask police officers, but I'm too much of a pussy to ask, or I'm afraid they just won't tell me the truth. So you seem like a straight up guy. So I have perused Twitter. I've sent out requests. I have some questions people want to know. We don't have to do it right now. We can just tease it now. We can hit it later in the episode. But I have some great questions that people want to know from a former police officer.
Love it.
Good sting.
Good sting.
You my wrap first up question, do you care that I call you a cop?
Is
cop offensive?
That's what I use. Okay. I use cop and copper all the time. Like, okay. I don't like the formal version of that police officer. Like, I'm like, nah.
Do you guys ever use, like, in The Wire when they say somebody's real police? Do you ever do that? Like, you ever, like, that guy's a real crime solver? He's not a fucking administrative sergeant.
Right. Well, my biggest pet peeve is when people say he's police, and I'm like, you're not using it correctly. Like, fucking, you know, he's a police officer if you have to, but you mm-hmm. know, there's that, I don't know, but it's in the vernacular now. It's like, he's police, she's police. It's like, that's wrong.
It's weird. Wrong. Yeah. I think cop sounds like blunt and sort of assertive.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess some people do to like even prefer law enforcement officer and shit like that.
I think most of the guys I work with were cops. Prefer cop, because you're just is he a cop? Or you're not fucking a cop, are you? Like, fuck, we'd say that to each other. Like,
yeah, it's because you were working with a bunch of people like you, Todd. Yeah.
Now, I will say, when my son was like 2, we were downtown. I was pushing him in the stroller. There was a gentleman getting arrested on the sidewalk, as happens in the middle of the afternoon downtown. Mm-hmm. And my son points and goes, why the popo getting that man? And the cops turn around and they gave me the shittiest look I've ever gotten in my life. And apparently you guys don't like popo.
I don't think we like popo, but it's not like I hate it either. It's nothing I'm going to add in my vocabulary for sure, but...
So, popo. I got to ask, what about the other P word, Todd?
Pig?
Yeah.
Pig never bothered me, because it's like, if you're using pig, it's because I just fucked your life, you know? So
it's like honky. Like, you can't get called honky and not laugh.
I know. Like, it's like, really?
Okay.
Pig.
Yeah, if you're calling me that, I already fucked your whole world. So
that's why I get frustrated when people are like, you called me a honky. I'm like, really? What else is going on in your life that's bringing you down a notch? There's something else weighing on you.
Have you guys ever been called a cracker?
Of course.
I've been called a cracker ass cracker before.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah.
And I've been called a cracker by everybody. Every race and denomination has called me a cracker. I'm pretty white, but
you are very white. But yeah, I don't think I've ever been called a cracker. Not to my face, I don't think.
Well, you usually don't try to irritate meth heads, and that was sort of your guys for a while, wasn't it? Like,
I dealt more with white trash than I did.
I'm surprised, being a cop, you haven't been called a cracker.
Yeah, I've been called white boy and fucking, you know. Shit like that. Never been called a cracker. So I didn't know if like cracker was still around, or is that antiquated now? But evidently not. People are still using it, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I think last time I got called cracker was at KFC about 5 years ago, I think.
At the Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Yeah.
Were you eating your chicken wrong?
No, I just clearly came in and ordered something that they'd been out of for about 30 minutes and it was currently cooking, and I got the vibe I was about the 8th person that tried to order that. And so I didn't take it personally. I just figured, you know, it's been a stressful day at her job. She wants to pop off a cracker. I'll take it on the chin if that gets her through the day. I mean, that's fine by me.
I don't think I would take offense to being called
I never really do.
Like I get it. I get why you would call me that. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, yeah. There's been some stuff. I get it.
There's some history there to support your use of that word. I'll take it, you know? But yeah, I don't think it may be more offensive for me to be called a hillbilly. Maybe. Like, because that's another white person saying that to look down on me. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I am I'm of hillbillies. I cannot deny that. But there's something about when another person's like, "Were you fucking hillbilly?" I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
I'd rather call somebody a hillbilly than white trash. Hillbilly to me is just the most excellent word you can call fucking anybody.
I like the term hick because I think that sort of has that cop effect where it just sort of hits.
Mm-hmm.
You're a fucking hick. You know, that's.
And redneck. I like the thought of good redneck, but I never throw out these terms lightly. Like if I call you any of those terms, you have demonstrated to the world that it's appropriate. You know, like
we used to call them Mountain Dew babies. That's what we used to call them when we were younger.
I hate to admit this, but I was at a family gathering less than a month ago, and I have a little baby cousin who's whatever age they toddle around at, age, like baby age, like, like not getting around well, like still need someone to change their clothes kind of shit.
Yeah. Smacks its head on the coffee table a lot.
Ooh. Oh yeah. And, and one of from their family side kind of thing, like not related to me, related to them though.
Right.
She's one of those ladies who carries around a 40-ounce styrofoam cup everywhere she goes, full of fucking soda pop.
Yeah.
Like
Polar Pop.
Oh, she brought it to my cousin's wedding, had it under the pew, and when people kneeled, they kicked it over, and 40 ounces of pop just went down the fucking aisle. I'm not even making this up.
She spilled her Polar Pop.
Spilled her Polar Pop during the wedding, during my cousin's beautiful wedding in an actual church. She had a fucking Polar Pop in there and kicked it over in the middle of the service. It was fantastic.
By the way, I didn't realize how effective the simple description of one of those people that carries around a Polar Pop at all times just clearly defines that person.
So she has the mug, right?
At that time, she did not. Just the styrofoam. I guarantee you she's had the mug at some point, but probably didn't wash it out enough, and she got something from it.
Stolen at a Polar Pop meeting. Somebody walked off with it.
So we're at this family gathering like a month ago, and the baby's toddling around, and she comes over, and she's got her big Polar Pop, and she's like, oh, here, you want some... You know, Pop, and of course the baby's just like, and I go, what in the hell are you doing, you hillbilly? Like, not even thinking, just called her a hillbilly in front of the entire crowd, like 20 people in a living room. And I'm just like, what are you doing, you hillbilly? You don't give babies soda pop. And she goes, she likes it. And I go, yeah, you hillbilly. I doubled down on the hillbilly. And then I forget what I realized how offensive I was at that moment and tried to backtrack and cover it up. And I'm just like, what are you doing? You don't give up. She likes it. Yeah, it's pure sugar, you stupid hillbilly. You don't give a baby.
To a baby.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That baby's probably bananas.
Oh, yeah.
The baby's cute as shit. Luckily, she's not the mom. She's just the aunt.
Like, where was the mom?
On the other side of the room, shaking her head like, what a bunch of hillbillies my family is. Oh, I can't wait to see which one of my family listens to this, and I'm banned from any future.
You're not allowed to
future.
We didn't like what Jeff said.
Only did he call her a hillbilly to her face, he went on to that podcasting and called her.
It's all over the internet now.
All over that interweb.
on his phone show. I had somebody call a phone show one time. You mean a podcast? Yeah, the phone show. Your phone show.
You on that Jess phone show on there talking about you.
I love her too. Like their aunt, honestly, like I've known her my whole life and she's great, but you don't give a 1.5 year old.
No. You know the trick of when your kid's really little and you get a little bit of your drink in the straw and you put your finger on the end of the straw and then you let loose of it? That's always a good time. Always a good time. I remember when I learned that trick. I'm like, I'm a real dad now. I know the straw trick. Like, I would see people do that in restaurants and whatnot. And I'm like, oh, it's really cool. Like you get in your water or whatever.
And
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good time.
I have to show them that. I haven't done that yet. I'll write that down.
No, I wouldn't do it with Mountain Dew, but
no,
it's a good time with water, parents.
I'll be honest. The only time I give my kids Mountain Dew when they ask for it is if they're going to the other parent later that day. I'm not even joking. Just the other day, they're like, can we have Mountain Dew? I go, of course you can't have. Oh, wait. Yeah, sure. I don't care. You guys are leaving in an hour. Knock yourself out. Have you
go on. Let's jack up and crash over there.
Take this 12 pack with you. So what's the week been like for you guys? Austin, you're back to work this week?
Yeah. I just wrapped up.
Oh, really?
So it was just my last day again.
So now you're off for another 7 days.
Yeah.
Well, not off, but working from home for 7 days.
Yeah, work from home.
So let's talk a little bit about the entertainment industry as it pertains to only existing on the internet now, because there is so much shit popping up.
It's pretty wild. It's pretty interesting who's good at it and who's not.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But there is like amongst just like my comedian friends, like on social media, you can see there is definitely the attention feed that they're used to. They're doing a lot of weird stuff to fill that void. I mean, it's weird.
Yeah,
it's
weird. No, I get that. And I've seen
I wouldn't say it's all good.
No.
Some people are cracking. Some people are definitely cracking. I'm starting to see poetry from some dudes that before was just like UFC posts, nothing but it. Some of those guys are waxing poetic about what COVID means to everybody. I'm seeing some people posting with less and less clothing on. I don't know what that's about, but it's getting weird out there.
We're hitting
that weird point.
I've noticed, and I'll be honest, I've noticed with my female comedian friends, they're throwing a lot more skin out there than usual.
Yeah.
A few of them. I am not complaining. And luckily, as I was scrolling through, I saw a shirtless Kevin Downey Jr. to counteract the three previous. So
wonderful.
So some of the men are doing it as well.
I am not palate
cleanser.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm working out way less, so I'm getting more layers is what I'm doing. I have a jacket on right now. So I'm hiding right now.
Oh, you're hiding your body?
Yeah. But I have seen people, my lady the other day, doing an Instagram story, barely had any fucking clothes on. I was like, what are you fucking doing?
What day was that she posted that on?
It was Monday, Jeff. I'll send you all my gifts.
Thank you.
I don't know if it's just people are getting more relaxed, you know, than usual because they are at home so much, or if the world's getting more fucking sexually frustrated or what, but you're right. I have noticed a lot less clothes.
One of my, one of the female comedians who I think is hilarious in my feed, she posted today, she goes, if you want a naked picture of me, you have to send me a picture of you in a finely tailored suit. Like, I don't want to see your dick and balls. I want to see you dressed up, shaven, looking like a real man if you want to see me naked. And I thought that was one of the funniest things I
had. Yeah, that's hilarious.
It is. I got to do, our buddy of ours, Chris Bowers, has a show with Steve Hofstetter. And
I did it.
And Ben. Yeah, I was going to ask you about it. Ben, what's Ben's last name?
Glebe,
the host of Idiot Test. Yeah. How was that show, Austin?
It was fun. I mean, I did it kind of right when all this popped off. I mean, even doing this was kind of like over the video was a little odd at that time. Like it was all new for me. I'm not a big streamer or anything.
Right.
But after a couple minutes, it feels very normal.
Now they've doing something different where I've seen comedians just to stand up to seemingly no one. Mm-hmm. And it's awkward.
Like, yeah, they have like people can pay like a premium to be in the chat thing with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you. They can like participate somewhat. Yeah.
So then at least you hear people laughing. The ones I've seen where there's no one to laugh, they're just so awkward.
Well, and all the hosts, everyone's very, you know, into it. So it's fun. I had a good time.
Yeah, I'm on there tomorrow, so we'll see how it goes. I'm not doing stand up though. I'm not ready for that yet. Yeah. But I've seen a lot of stand up where it's not as interactive because they don't have real audience members that you can hear.
Yeah.
And those people, I'm like, I just want to be like, I don't know if I would be doing that. Like, I have to do one. I have to do, listen to this. I have a gig coming up where I have to do entertain people this way at Salesforce. And it's, I'm like, well, how many people? And they're like, 2,500. And I'm like, what? 2,500 people? How is this even going to work? Like, I'll be just like this. I assume it's the only way I have to record myself. I mean, maybe I could stand farther back and set up a microphone on, you know, regular like stand-up stand. But I don't know how this is going to go, boys. Because I'm assuming I'm going to be one of those people I was just criticizing who's just doing stand-up for people I can't hear laugh. And then it's just going to be awkward as fuck.
I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So you recently put out an album, right?
Yes. Oh, lip sync it.
Just do your album and take the applause and laugh breaks from the album
and put that in there. Dude, I'm going
to
tell
you. You could be funny. You could try to be funny. I'm just saying you could do what you're hired for.
Well, like I talked to some other people that have done this, and the problem is the audience, even though let's say they're laughing, you can't hear them, so you don't have the timing. So you're coming back in while they're laughing, and they're not hearing you, right? So you don't have that ear to gauge, oh, it's coming down, now I talk.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just going to play my album in the background through a hidden mic, and it will feed in here to a second mic, and I'm just going to lip sync the entire thing.
The album?
Yeah. I'm like, you might notice a little delay with my mouth. It's just my internet. Don't mind it. You'll be able to hear me fine.
I was thinking more of a King's Speech thing where you just listen to it in your headphones and say it, but what you're proposing is way more maniacal, so I think we should do that.
The sound quality in his bedroom is awesome.
It's incredible.
It sounds like he's in a theater. I'll see how that goes tomorrow. I got to put out the information.
Did you guys watch Saturday Night Live this weekend?
No.
Where I heard everyone, it was great. They did it from their house. There were two or three sketches that were great. Super funny, super smart, played into the fact they were on a Zoom basically and owned it kind of, which I always love when people take their negatives and turn that into the positive of the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks, from his kitchen, which it couldn't have been, it must've been his basement kitchen. Like it wasn't big enough to be Tom Hanks' kitchen. You know what I mean? Like it's, he's staying at, that's his fourth house kind of kitchen.
Yeah. Let me go into the guest house real quick and film this.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what I thought. Oh yeah. He must've went out to the, to the pool house to fucking film this. But,
Oh, no, that's the old marble in the pool house.
But they did this great bit where it was a business doing a Zoom call where the four people, you know, in their 20s were killing it. And then the two receptionists who were both in their 60s were just in tears by the end of it because they couldn't figure the technology out. It was hilarious.
That's pretty funny.
And it was a great way to take this negative and use it and make it something super funny. But then some of them just were horrible. It was just like, wow, you, Pete Davidson put out two music videos that like the concept was there for like the first line was funny and then just nothing happened the rest of the fucking video.
Really?
You could tell he didn't work with a writer on it. He's like, no, I got this one, guys.
I'll do it.
And they're like, no, you should have worked with a fucking writer.
Has anyone heard from Pete? Do you know what he has plans? He says he's got it.
Yeah.
So, Well, the eighth episode of Tiger King, done the way it was done, was a complete fucking waste of time.
David Spade's, not watch it.
Don't. I mean, David Spade's interviews, it was a worst version of what David Spade did. I liked what David Spade did, right? And it, but his was one-on-one. Imagine if David Spade had them all in queue around him, and then he wasn't as good at interviewing them. That's what happened. Like, it was in no way like, ooh, you know, this will be some closure we didn't get. It was just,
yeah.
Let's just, hey, who do you want to play you in the movie? And, you know, it's like, really? Spade already did this.
Who all did David Spade interview from the show? How many interviews did he do?
Almost all of them.
Wow. Okay.
He didn't do Tim Stark, which he won't be able to do because that guy does not have internet.
Oh, has anyone done Joe? Sorry.
No, he hasn't done Joe.
Do you want to pitch yours while you're on here?
Yeah.
While we're on here.
Defending the Kingdom. If you don't know about it, Defending the Kingdom, go to toddcomedy.com and it's on the main page. You just click on there and it takes you to, you do have to rent it, $4.99 to rent or $9.99 to own, but I got to get my money
back. It's raw. It's raw. I mean, that he just goes. It's, I mean, he's going
super raw.
I love that guy. He's so honest. And like, if anybody questioned whether or not he is a good dude, Saf confirmed it. Saf is like, loves Tim. He said that he is like the most genuine person in the whole fucking story, pretty much. And I'm like, oh, dude.
Nice.
Because I value that dude's opinion more than anybody. Saf is the motherfucking man. So,
Saf did seem like the only normal person.
Absolutely.
In that whole deal.
Absolutely.
Not saying the other person some had the people their arm weren't ripped off.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's the only guy that gets his arm ripped off. That's what happens to good people. At Joe Exotic's farm.
I asked him if I was like, how in the hell did you stand there and just take or lay there and just take it? Like, it had to be excruciating. And he was like, well, I just figured out a long time ago, you can't be both stupid and not tough. So I'm like, oh, Jesus. All right. Well, all right.
Oh, man.
I guess, yeah. If you're going to deal with tigers, you ought to be a pretty
tough. I would teacher. Assume I just die.
Right. Oh, I would have been screaming like a baby.
It had to have been so much blood.
So much blood. I mean, I don't even like cutting myself. And like that little, like a stream of blood, I can't just sit there and watch it. I have to immediately like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And these stitches. And they're like, no, you don't, idiot. It's just a fucking cut. Like, if I would look down and like my arm from the elbow down was just a mangled pile, I would pass out. I take it back. I would not even cry or scream. I would just immediately pass out.
Yeah.
I would shut down. Like, yep, not dealing with this. Boop, out. Yeah. So...
Dude, I've stubbed my toe and still complained about it the next day. How bad it hurt. Like, I can't imagine how bad. If I got my arm ripped off, I would milk the shit out of that for the next 22 years. Like, I'd be like, yeah, I can't get the door. That's my, they took my door opening arm. Can you help me out? Like,
I've always said that I knew I could never really be a Navy SEAL the very first time I stubbed my toe. Like I would get everybody killed because we'd be walking on a mountainous, you know, like this rocky terrain, and I would twist my ankle or something, and I'd be like, motherfucker! And then we'd all get killed. Like, yeah, in the middle of the night. So it takes a special breed for sure. So all right, the other thing is churches. Churches are killing it with Zoom right now. Like, they're doing the whole ceremony. Right. So the preacher's up here, main window, and the congregation's in the little windows, and they're conducting mass or what. I don't know if Catholics probably have it. Catholics are probably like, no, come to church. But everybody else is.
Well, when you said churches are killing it, I was like, yeah, you're right. They are killing some people by still having services.
Yeah. There's a few that aren't adhering to the guidelines. But I will say this, did you guys see, I think it was 2 weeks ago, there was a priest doing a live Instagram mass or one of those, and he didn't realize he had the filters on, so he had like a Star Wars mask on, and like all these different, as he was giving the homily, and,
that's awesome.
Which was, it's like, the fact he would even use filter or even like, I don't know if it was a total accident or if he was just using it with his buddy the day before, like two priests are going back and forth with their iPhones filtered on, like cracks me up. Like, yeah.
There was, this really happened. This was earlier this year or the end of last year. The spokesman for the Royal Canadian Mounted Police was doing a press conference over social media for like a triple homicide or something totally grave, like this horrific crime. And the cat ears for the Facebook filter were on. And she did the whole press conference with cat ears on her head talking about this triple murder. It was the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen, dude.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I laughed my ass off. And I was like, dude, did somebody set you up? Either way, fucking hilarious. Hilarious.
That'd be a hard one.
It would be.
To walk away from, I feel like. I feel like you would just get fired for that.
Yeah, somebody would.
Somebody would just be so offended.
Whoever's in charge of their social media, probably. You left a fucking cat ear filter on.
Well, we aren't on Zoom, but last week, a lot of companies using Zoom, hackers, have found out how to hack into Zoom meetings, and they were giving a, there was a big big corporate meeting with thousands on it, and dicks started getting drawn on the screen, and balls, like a... There was another town council meeting that was all done on Zoom, and all these like pictures of ISIS and movies of ISIS started going across the screen with all these racial slurs, and they had to shut down the entire meeting. Like they can't.
I love that. I just think that's just it's entrepreneurial almost.
It's love pretty funny thing to do.
It's fucking hilarious, dude, to break into some fucking Zoom meeting. All these people serious about what they're doing, and all of a sudden a dick goes bouncing through the screen.
Now my kids, my youngest one, they had a class Zoom last week, but it wasn't for school. It was just kind of there where all the kids could hang out for an hour after, you know, kind of like at 4 p.m, where, because they all haven't seen each other in a month now.
Right.
And so it was just, oh my God, I couldn't even be in the same room as it. It was the most insane you've ever seen. It was just 20 fourth graders on their cell phones running through their house, showing everybody their houses. At the same time, 20 kids talking, laughing, cutting in, cutting out. Oh my God. I don't know how.
Madness.
Like it caused me anxiety. Like it was just
let somebody speak for a little bit.
But they loved it. And I don't think anyone heard a damn thing anyone was saying. But no, they loved the hell out of being able to see each other.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
Oh, real quick. So we were talking, you asked about the weeks. I tried to contact my cable company today and change my plan, and they were experiencing high wait volume call, whatever. I decided I would handle it online. I'm currently paying $160 for cable and internet. That's no premium channels. That's just your basic cable and like 300 megabyte internet.
Right.
I wanted to get rid of my cable and up my internet and save some money.
Right.
After spending 2.5 hours online, chatting online with their people, I have gotten rid of my cable channels. I've doubled my internet speed. And I am now saving $1.22 a month as to what I was doing before.
I knew you'd pull out of this the winner, Jeff.
Technically a win.
How in the fuck do you pick a $110 plan? The plan says it's $110 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. After taxes, fees, rentals, and everything, it's $158.92. How in the f- is there... $48 worth of extra shit added on there.
Dude, I did the same thing. I'm like, oh, we're going to save this much. And it ends up being like $4. Yeah, Got rid of my TV part of it. Just took the internet to the max.
Yeah.
And I'm basically paying the fucking same thing.
Yeah.
And I have to have a phone. They won't give you the package unless they give you a phone.
I don't want a phone.
I'm like, people don't use phones anymore in their houses. And they're like, oh, yeah, but it's part of the package. So we'll ship it to you. I'm like, all right. I think I have 10 of them. Every time I change a plane, you ship me a phone. So, that is set in my closet.
Oh, I hate them. I hate them so much. I hate them. I don't understand why it's so fucking I don't understand how internet is costing me $150 a month for
I don't get that either. House. I'm at $50 a month for a G of fiber. A month.
Through who?
That's AT&T. Really?
Yeah.
No, they don't fast.
Come to my yeah, they don't come here either. So
write a letter or something. I don't know. Am furious. Get them out there.
And it's just my neighborhood. It goes all around me, but it doesn't come to this neighborhood.
But it is pretty much that whole scheme where then they turned it into 2 hours of your life and you just buckle and take whatever deal gets you off the phone.
It's
right
like
away.
They set a bottom price. They're like, hey, we have to make at least $150 off every customer. So they cloak things and they set each package to where there's no way you can get a combination of anything. If you want internet, you're going to have to pay $150. It don't matter what else you want.
No, just tell me. I wouldn't even be mad if you just told me the package cost $150.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, how much is this package? It's $150. After, what about with taxes, title, insurance, and all that shit?
Fees and services.
It's $150. Sweet. That's how much the fucking package costs.
Right.
The package. The package is only $9.99. Unfortunately, we charge $182 in fees. Go fuck yourself. Then the package isn't $8.99.
What are the fees? What are the fees?
Who knows?
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah. One was a sports fee that I have to pay. I'm like, I don't watch sports. I don't play sports. I bet on sports.
That's just sort of the adult version of give me your lunch money right there. You're getting shaked down by the jocks for some change.
Dude, and they got you too. Because, you know, they it's not like they give you 7 different options of internet where you live. Usually it's one. You know, this is the only company that services your area. Well, that means I'm getting fucked.
Right. I'm getting it right up my backside.
Right. Yeah, what happened to a competitive market, you know? The monopoly, that's supposed to be against the law. But, like, where I live, Comcast has it.
And there's no one else you can go with?
You know, internet. No, you're fucked.
Yeah, I think, didn't DirecTV eat a dick?
Yeah, they're pretty much, like, AT&T, I think, took them over. Yeah, and they were just like, let's just take it over and just not use their satellites.
And you're happy with your AT&T?
Love it. Never had an issue. Literally, never had an issue.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, their phones suck. You don't use AT&T for your phone service, do you?
I do, yeah.
Oh, it's the worst in the country.
I've been to a few cities where it's like real strong, and obviously they've set up shop there. It's pretty good up in Chicago, I found, and stuff, but down here in Indy, it's okay.
Yeah, we hated when our bad guys would get AT&T phones.
Because they dip off?
They would dip off so much, You could track other people better because they had better service.
Yeah, some of the more remote parts of the land, you definitely drop off real quick.
I warned my mother-in-law where she lives, and I was like, you can get it, but you better check where you live because it's dicey. And she was like, yeah, but it's so cheap. And I go, well, it's so cheap because it's dicey.
Yeah,
so it's bricket.
She switched over, and she can't even use her phone inside her house. Like, jeez. She just fucking totally fucked. I'm like, I told you. Yeah. Should at least took somebody's AT&T phone and then went to your house with it and tried it. Yeah. But all right. Do you want to try this Ask a Cop thing?
I'm always naturally curious about occupations other than mine or things that I'll be honest. I went to college for a semester. I majored in criminal justice. I wanted to either be a lawyer or go into the field that you went into. Like, I've always been mesmerized and amazed by it, and so I've always had questions, and since we started doing these shows back with this John Stites guy, I was always just like Todd. So let me ask you this, Todd. If I'm doing this, blah, blah, like I always just, I, and I'm sure it gets old, but I love it.
No, so, I love it.
So I've solicited the internet about what they want to know if they could ask a cop. The first question is from our friend, actually, Miss Jess Hooker. At Jess Hooker on Twitter.
And you can find her that she has a podcast, right?
Yes.
On the VIP.
Off the air.
Yeah, off the air. With
which you now have to pay for on the Papa Tom website.
But it's worth it. It's worth it. It's great.
We love Chicken Jess. She asks, when a person has a radio or stage name or alias, is their fake name stored on their record/file? So when an officer runs the ID with their legal name, would the thing, say, also known as come up back to you?
No, your criminal history would. So if I run a criminal history check on you, it'll come back with any names that you have used before, only though, only in like the commission of a crime, or you gave a different name when you're arrested one time. That's the only way. So like our buddy Chick, who that's not his legal name.
Right.
Does he tell people that? Maybe I
don't know. Maybe he does now.
Yes. Yeah. Not his God given name anyway. It may actually be his legal name.
Right. But, I think it is his legal name now, but
yeah. So, if before, like let's say, I'm a DJ or something and I go by, I don't know, like I'm a comedian and I go by Earthquake, and it's not going to show up. Oh, John Smith. Also known as Earthquake. Here's his comedy special. Yeah. So, no, there's no way to track that at all.
Okay.
Now, gang stuff with gang members, their shit is tracked in a separate thing. So you can, like, if you suspect that they're a gang member, you usually, any police department can access this gang database and check for other names and shit in that.
And they're like, oh, what? like Tom Segura, what's up, little Dookie?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the next question. This comes from Kristen Carnes. Have you ever done an anal search or been anally searched yourself?
Oh, whoa.
Like, is that one of those things like you have to get tased before you can use taser? Do you have to get anally searched so you know how painful it is before
you can anally search? Did you get checked out with Shapiro and the clink?
I have never been anally probed, nor have I anally probed anybody, thank God. I know some people that have had to do it, for sure.
Is there like a moment where you're supposed to and you just backed off? You said, you know what, that's theirs.
I don't care what you're packing. I'm not looking.
They want it too much. Yeah, I don't have the heart to take it away from them.
They're willing to stick it up there. Hey, they're free. You got away with it. Congratulations. Yeah. I don't know even what you have to do. I assume that you have to get a search warrant to do that, or you're being put in prison.
You got to.
Yeah.
I would think. Like, that's not a roadside.
Right.
That's got to be considered private property, I would think. Yeah,
I like, smell weed in your car. Take your pants down and bend over.
They would have to take you into jail and look in your ass there. They couldn't. That couldn't be like, they wouldn't just open the two car doors and have you stand in between them so the traffic doesn't see and have you drop your pants to your ankles and cough.
And even then, I would use like my collapsible asp. I wouldn't use my finger. I'd just be like, ugh.
I don't want to put any police officer in danger ever. Mm-hmm. So if one of these questions is going to put an officer in danger, if you give the truth, then we'll just skip it. You can just say skip it.
Okay.
But I've always wondered this as well. How much weed do you have in your car for a sniffing drug dog to alert? Would a single roach and a film roll holder be enough, or does it have to be more? # asking for a friend.
You can have smoked or had weed in your car like the week before, and a drug dog will hit that shit. They are so fucking sensitive. Like one time, we stopped by this one state police post. We had a briefing. We're going to go do some stuff. And I put my like web gear on, which is like your, like the pliable, you know, gun belts that you put on over jeans or whatever. So I put that on. Well, I had wore that last time I wore that. We raided a house and arrested a fugitive there, and the place just reeked of weed. Right. And that was like 3 days before this. And that was the last time I had worn it. So I get it out and I put it on and I walk by my buddy and his dog alerted on me right now. It was like, boom. He's like, oh, you got weed in your car? And I'm like, nah, I don't. But like, I did wear this in a house that reeked of weed 3 days ago. And he's like, oh yeah, he smells it. And I'm like, that's fucking amazing.
Whoa.
So what sucks is like, they can use that information to search your car knowing damn well it could have just been in there. Yeah.
Right.
So
I have to be honest, like just watching, you know, on TV, like live PD and cops and stuff, I always find some of the, oh yeah, the dog just alerted. Like,
yeah,
that dog laid down and took a nap. That dog didn't alert for shit. Like, oh, is your dog's alert that it looks like he's not alerting? And then there's other dogs that, like, they go nuts and start scraping at the car and shit. And they're like, oh, okay, that motherfucker's alerting. But then there's other dogs that, like, look over him and just, like, give him the nod.
Yeah.
And he's like, yep, he alerted. And it's like, well, who? Says you? Or says, like, I want to know what the alert is. Like, is the alert that he puts a paw up? Because he didn't fucking put a paw up. Like, I want to know what the goddamn alert is. Because some of those seem a little bit like, oh, no, he alerted.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. And it's so funny because they call those, like, the dog that sits and freezes, like, the passive alert or whatever. And, you know, they had to start training dogs that way because the old school way, the dog went all fucking ape shit. And then cops got tired of, like, having to pay to repaint cars and redo the interiors of cars on cars that they didn't find dope in. Because they would just go to – I don't know, whoever thought up – oh, that's the indication we should show is he just destroys everything in front of him. Yeah. So then it'd be, oh, maybe we'll just teach them to sit and freeze. But, yeah, you're right. Like, sometimes you look at it and you're like, that dog could just be really tired right now. So I don't know. It's all on how you train your dog. There's some shitty dogs out there because there's some shitty dog trainers. You
know? But let's be honest. Could a canine cop just go, he alerted?
Most people wouldn't even know.
Like, there's no video or anything anywhere to prove otherwise.
Right.
Well, especially if all they're doing is sitting down. Just give them a little pop on the leash. They'll sit right down. That's what my dog does. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knows you don't even have to hit it hard. Like, if I just give any resistance on that slightly upward, he sits down.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
All right. This one's a two-parter question, and it comes from the We Are Libertarians podcast host, Chris Spangle.
Nice.
He wants to know, this is a two-parter. Number one, where do you get the right? And two, who do you think you are?
Noted. Noted. I love libertarians, but they hate the government.
They do
the government hard.
They do. And I feel like libertarians have such a broad platform, but one thing they all share is just a general disdain for the government.
I love it.
And so like, sometimes I'm like, there's no political party that in its pure essence in theory is better. But then it's like, but can we really trust all of us to run ourselves? Like, we could, but
Joe we're Exotic not the world. Ran as a libertarian. Let me remind you that. Yeah.
Do we want Joe Exotic?
Yeah, we can't.
Making decisions for his community.
We're not mature enough for any of that right now.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to do one more question. This one's kind of I like this one. This is from Rick Elon. Hey, Rick. When you're having a bad day, like everyone occasionally does, how would you prevent that from leaking into your work? I'd imagine bad days mean you have a shorter fuse when working with the public. Does this make any sense?
I think it makes sense. Dude, you go into work after, you know, I've been divorced twice after a knockdown, drag out argument with your wife, and you got to go in there and fucking be nice to people. Not fucking easy. I just there's been times too where I'm like, I shouldn't go around that person right now. There was a time, dude, all right, here's the story. So I had this is before I was a detective. and I was still a uniform trooper. Hadn't been on very long, but I had a rookie riding with me. And I stop, I respond to a call where a lady said that her husband that she was separated from stole her vehicle and then crashed it into a ditch and left it there. So that's what we're responding to. And when I get out there, it's all full of her shit. It reeks of booze. There's booze all spilled in it and everything or whatever. And it's just right down the road from her house. And I'm like, so this is your car? She's like, yeah. And I go, and that's all your stuff in it. Like your purse were in there. The keys that are in there have stuff dangling from it, your ID from work and whatever. Like
that big mess of shit that girls walk around with all the time.
And I'm like, but he was driving it. Yeah, he came and stole it. And then he's had it for like, I don't know, since last night or whatever. And it's like, but you didn't report it last night. No. And I'm like, and his people that he works with, his coworkers, say that he was at work and did not leave. But somehow he stole your truck and he crashed it literally a football field from your house in a ditch. And it reeks of alcohol just like you do right now. And she's like, yes. So I'm like, I just got to be honest with you. I'm not going to go arrest this dude off what you're saying. I think you drove it drunk. How about we just call this a loss and I just leave and you arrange to have that vehicle towed when you sober up and then you handle it with your insurance company. And then she was like, I want him to go to jail right now. This is fucking, you're fixing this. You're fixing this. And I'm like, first of all, that's not the right term for this, fixing it. Like, so I'm not fixing it is what I'm not doing. So I finally, she gets me so pissed. And I was having a bad day anyway that finally at some point I fucking storm out of the house and I'm like, bitch. And I shut the door, right? And slam it behind me. And then my rookie is setting in the car and he was like, you can't do that. And I was like, fuck her, like she's a bitch. And it's like she's just fucking lying, she's drunk, she's lucky I don't drag her out of there and take her to jail. So he's like, oh man, I just really, he was real straight-laced kid. He's like, I don't feel good about this at all. What if she reports us? So I go, oh, she's going to report us. Yeah, that's no problem about it. Like, she's going to report me. Yeah.
This is B-plus at best for you, buddy.
Right. So he's like, do you care if I just go in there and try to calm her down? And I was like, you want to go in there and try to calm her down? He's like, yeah. And he's like, I just don't think you handled it right. Maybe if you just kind of mellowed her down a little bit. And I'm like, all right, hot shot. Go fucking have it. He goes in there. He's in there like all of 5 minutes. Next thing I know, he comes out the door, bitch, and he slams the door. And I'm like, all right, good for you. Good for you.
Because you're going to get a car.
Yeah, let's you're going to get a day off for this, and it'll be good for you. Yeah.
So did she call on you guys?
Oh, yeah. She called and complained. We got rode up, blah, blah, blah. And you just can't call people bitch. You know what I mean? Like, but I was like, you know, she's lucky I don't fucking file charges on her for fucking filing a false report and then leaving the scene of a crime, fucking, let alone being drunk. But once they're in their house, here's another little trick. Once you're in your house, the cop can't prove you were driving drunk unless you're dumb enough to admit it. Like,
yeah,
because, you know, that's what the rookie was saying. He's like, let's get her for DUI. And I'm like,
prove it.
She's in her house. Fucking she, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we know what happened, but we can't prove it.
What about front porch?
Either way. Like, if you're not in the vehicle.
If you're in your property.
Well, just so you're not in the vehicle anymore, right? Okay. I showed up. So, like, some people say they, like, crashed drunk, and then they once they got home, they just started fucking chugging booze. And so when they answer the door for the cops, they're just literally with booze in their hand. Like, oh, yeah, I was so upset about my crash, I just started chugging vodka. So it's like nothing you can do about it, you know, which is not a bad move. It's not a bad move at all. Better to get leaving the scene than a DUI.
I know.
For who, Tom? Jesus Christ.
No, I know an older gentleman who he flipped his car driving drunk and then got out and just went to the Denny's across the street and got breakfast and watched all the cops show up and get his car turned back over. And they were all going through the area trying to find him. And he just waited
until
they left and then got a cab home.
That guy bleeding, eating that Grand Slam. Do you think he was in that car?
Yeah, he's got a piece of windshield coming out of his chin, but...
Sure, you have glass in your hair.
Yeah, it's a new style.
I had I stopped a guy one time for driving. He was ended up he was habitual traffic violator. He lost his license for life. And he wouldn't pull over, right? He just kept going real slow. And then he finally turns into a driveway. And we're out in the country. Finds a driveway, pulls in, gets out and starts walking up to the house. And he was like, oh, can I help you? And I'm like, yeah, you didn't see me trying to pull you over for the last like 10 minutes. And he's like, no, I didn't even notice. I didn't look in the rearview mirror. And I was like, oh, okay. It's like, is your house? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to sit here and do some paperwork. And I'll just, if you don't mind, go in your house, go about your business. He's like, okay. I knew it wasn't in his fucking house. So he goes up there and he's him hauling around, just waiting, like not even wanting to knock on the door, you know? And I go, you're not going to go in? And he's like, yeah. And then he knocks on the door and I'm like, why are you knocking on your own house? He's like, I forgot my keys. My wife's there. And this fucking dude answers. He's like, what the fuck do you want? And the guy finally has to come moping back to his car. And I'm like, not your house, huh? He's like, I'm suspended for life. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
So you cops are onto that when we pull into the wrong people's driveway, acting like it's our house.
Just sit and wait.
Pull into some nice house with your shit car. Like, yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, you always love that. You turn into the wrong neighborhood, and you're like, well, now it's obvious I don't live here.
Like, right. Vice versa, pulling some shit in your Mercedes. Like, no, I'd make bad decisions with money and driving.
But that's how do you stop? I mean, once you've lost your license for life, why not continue to drive? Like, what's fucking stopping you? I mean, there's no you go penalty. To jail. It's not like they can take your license away anymore.
Well, you go to jail because every time you get caught while you're a habitual traffic violator, like it's a felony. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's why not to do it. But people do it. Like, you don't get to be a habitual traffic violator by following the rules. You know what I mean? Like you.
Yeah.
I got busted driving unsuspended one time. And the cop basically was like, hey, I could take you in today, but I'm just going to tow your car and let you walk your ass home. Like, from the looks of your car, things aren't going too well for you right now. Maybe you'll get let me just walk car. Home.
I worked a case where these people reported that somebody broke into their car in the middle of the night and threw matches in there and burnt their car. Like, just totally engulfed in flames, burnt the fuck out of their car. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I get over there and the story's not adding up very well, you know? And I'm like, all right, let me make a couple calls. They're behind on their payments. And I'm like, okay, well, this isn't looking good. Like, maybe they burnt their own car or whatever. And now they're going to try to get the insurance money. So now I got an arson on my hands. I'm like, all right, that's cool. So I end up I go back to the house. I'm like, hey, you care if I look around a little bit? Because maybe the person who did this to your car, maybe, left some evidence around. Maybe they tried to break into your garage and some other stuff. And they're like, oh, no, good idea. Yeah, look at anything you want. And I'm like, okay. So I just go walking around. And basically I'm just looking for something where I can, find some evidence where I can get a search warrant and come back. So I go and they have a trash can laid out on the sidewalk behind their house. And I look at the trash can and I open it. The matches that we found in the back of their car were like real unique, right? So they had, I can't even describe, I don't remember exactly what was so unique about them, but something about the color and the one, because there was one unburnt one that was just pulled out of there and it didn't strike all the way and it was just left there and it didn't burn in the fire all the way. So I'm looking at them, like, that's just a weird looking matchstick. So I look in there, fucking book of matches, like half empty, and there were Marlboro matches. Like that back in the day when Marlboro used to send you reward shit.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was this like custom designed, book of matches. And it was a weird, really weird looking thing. And I'm like, that's an exact fucking match. It's in your fucking trash can. Thrown out with the rest of your other trash. So I pull them in to interview them. They fucking wouldn't admit to it. And then come to find out, like, and I was pissed. I'm like, God damn it. So I'm like, all right, let me take a break. So I call their insurance company. And I'm like, hey, what can you tell me? Because I got them in the interview room, and they're just not breaking. And they're like, well, I can tell you they don't have insurance. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, They missed like three payments, so we suspended their policy. And I'm like, they're fucking out. This is a brand new car they bought like just a few months before.
Oh my God.
And haven't made any payments on it yet. And they're like, yeah, no, they're going to have to eat that. And I'm like, fucking awesome. So I just went in there and I was like, hey, I just want to tell you, I appreciate you sticking to your guns. Like you are a tough interview and you beat me today. Like you should be punished for what you did, but you beat me. And I give you mad respect for it. Also, I want to let you know that your insurance policy lapsed 2 weeks before you set that car on fire. So fucking, you now you owe the bank $29,000. So congratulations.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would rather that happen than fucking, you know, what do you get for burning your own
car? That's way more justice.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to be paying that off way longer than they're probably going to go to jail for.
Exactly.
So.
That's going to haunt them the rest of their life. There's no way they resolved that $29,000 debt. Yeah.
There was a news story today, or I think it was Friday, where someone was putting a new deck in their backyard and they start digging and they hit something and they start digging and come to find out there's a 1950 something car with no wheels on it, just buried like a foot under the ground in their backyard.
Are you serious?
They exhumed this whole car out of the backyard. And people are like, why would someone bury a car in the backyard? It's like, because probably they robbed a bank with that
exactly
car.
Exactly what
they
I was thinking.
They murdered someone with that car, or they were a year behind on car payments, and they called in and the car stolen, and they needed to get rid of it. They just dug a hole and dropped it in the fucking hole in the backyard.
That's fucking hilarious. That's fucking
Why else would you bury an entire car? And it still had the license plate on it. Like,
I would definitely think they used it in some big heist or a murder. But also, if you report it stolen and gone and you get the insurance money for it, you don't want people to find that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah.
You don't want there to be a dry summer.
Yeah.
And the lake comes back a foot and a half and your car's just hanging out where you drove it in.
Oh shit, that lake's real down, isn't it?
Oh damn, I wish I would have parked that at a different lake.
Well, this has been fun, guys. Hey, continue to spread the word on us and rate and review. We have a lot more listeners than we do ratings and reviews. That helps us out a lot.
Yeah, we appreciate every rate and review.
Absolutely.
Send me your cop questions. I'm going to ask Todd every week, at least one or two, because I want to know. So
nice. Let's do it. Well, until next week, from me and Austin and Jeff, we love you guys, and we are out.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.